This morning, I'd like to talk about watch and pray. And I hope you don't think this comes across paranoid, but songwriter Keith Green, who died in 1982 in a plane crash, he was ahead of his time. He wrote a song, and it was supposed to be to the church. And in the song, he said, "The world's asleep in the dark, and the church can't fight because it's asleep in the light." And that's what I want to talk about today in the church, that we not be lulled into a sleep, into a false sense of security. The text is out of Matthew 26, verses 36 through 41. "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for those who were able to get out today. As we look at this text, I just pray you will take this to our hearts. Warn us, Father. Encourage us. Give us open eyes that we may see the things that's going on around us and not be caught off guard. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar text. Of course, you know they had what we call the Last Supper. And while they were at supper, Jesus told his men, "One of you is going to betray me." Well, so they were all sorrowful, and they said, "Is it me? Is it me?" And then Judas said, "Is it me?" And Jesus said, "You said so." Then he told them, "You are all going to desert me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.'" And every one of those men, without exception, said, "Not me. I'll die with you. I'm not going to leave." And I believe they really believed that. You know, Jesus said the Spirit's willing. I think they really thought at that time, "There's no way I'm going to leave you." But one of the problems was these men had no clue what was going to happen. If you remember, Jesus was preaching at one point, and he said, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know I'm the one I claim to be." And the crowd said, "Wait a minute, we heard in the law that Christ lives forever. So who is this Son of Man?" So that's how these men had been taught all their lives. The Christ was not going to die. And yet, three different times in the Gospels it's recorded that Jesus told his men when they were on their way to Jerusalem, "We're going to the Passover. I'm going to be handed over to the hands of sinners. I will be beaten, crucified, die, and on the third day I'll be raised again." And they didn't get it. If you remember, when he was resurrected, the first thing he did when he met him was rebuke him. He said, you're awful slow to believe the prophets and everything that was written. He said, this had to happen. But in this section of the text, they didn't have a clue. Even though the Lord told them this is what's going to happen, they didn't have a clue. Well, he goes to Gethsemane. There was a garden there. Judas knew about it because Jesus went there very often. It was a place that you could go rest and relax. And he went there to pray because he knew what was coming. Now, I read a commentary one time that I never thought about this. I was told all my life when Jesus said, "Take this cup from me," he was asking not to go to the cross. But one minister said, Jesus never shirked from anything God told him to do. What he was asking was that he not die before he go to the cross. Because he told his men, "I am sorrowful, even to the point of death." And I'm not saying that that guy's right and everybody else is wrong. But it caused me to look at it from a little different angle. That Jesus may have been praying, "Father, don't let me die before I go to the cross." We can't imagine the turmoil that he was going through. He who knew no sin all of a sudden was taking the full weight of sin on his shoulders. There's a video that Ray Vonderlaan did about Gethsemane, and they had olive presses there. And he said Jesus was being pressed by the weight of sin, just like they would press olives and that oil would come out. He sweat drops of blood and sweat. There's a medical condition for that. I can't remember what it's called, but it happens. I read about a man in Italy years back that on his deathbed, they said he began to sweat blood. And they said it's a high stress condition. It causes the capillaries on the surface to break and you bleed out with your sweat. So Jesus was very stressed out. He knew what was coming. He knew what he had to do. And he said to Peter, James, and John, that's his inner circle. I don't care what people say. God doesn't have favorites. Jesus had an inner circle out of the 12, Peter, James, and John. He took them everywhere. He took them places he didn't take the others. He let them witness things that he didn't let the others witness. The raising of Jairus' daughter, for instance. He took Peter, James, and John when he raised her from the dead. The Mount of Transfiguration, we call it, he took Peter, James, and John. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I know exactly why he did that. My opinion is that he saw something in these men and he knew they were going to be the leaders of the church. And every one of them became an elder after he was raised at the church at Jerusalem. And he takes his inner circle and he goes over and has them sit down and he said, sit here and watch. I'm going to go over there and pray. He didn't say, take a nap. Peter, finish your milk now. That's a good boy. Take your nap. I'll be back in a little bit. That's not what he said. He said, you sit here and watch. I'm going to go over there and pray. They were totally unaware of what was going on. Totally. They had a false sense of security. Even though the Lord told them, I'm going to be betrayed tonight. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. And you're all going to run. Now that won't happen to us. And I fear today, a lot of the church is in that condition. And as we get into this, I'll tell you why I feel that way. Jesus knew his enemies were coming. In the book of John, he told his men, the prince of this world's coming, and he has no power over me, but so the world will know that I love the Father, let's go. He was going to the cross. But now he's praying and he's asking the Father for the strength to get him through what he's going through. And his men are sleeping. They think everything's fine. They had seen him raise the dead, heal the sick, walk on water, calm storms. What do you mean? Trouble's coming. Not with you. We're going to curl up here and go to sleep. And Jesus finishes praying the first time and said he walks over there. And who does he wake up? Peter. There was something about Peter that Jesus saw something in him. And he said, couldn't you even watch with me for 1 hour? Watch means to be vigilant, to stay awake. That's literally what the Greek means. Jesus set them down. He said, stay awake. Keep a watch. Be vigilant. I'm going over here to pray. Well, they do. I think I'll take me a little nap. I got a full belly. Jesus is over there praying. He's got this. What did he say to them? Your spirits are willing, but your flesh is weak. Why did he tell them to watch and pray so you don't enter into temptation? It was coming. Danger was coming. We have a very real enemy, church, and I know you may get tired of me saying that, but I really honestly believe that a lot of people in the church today think, if I don't bother the devil, he won't bother me. If I leave him alone, he'll leave me alone. If I'm not out doing the work that I need to be doing, I'm not going to be a threat to Satan, so he won't bother me. Asleep in the light. Yeah. Asleep in the light. Jesus came to do that. Let's let Jesus take care of it. I don't need to evangelize. I don't need to share. I don't need to warn the sinners. Because if I do that, it makes people angry. And the devil will get angry. And he'll come after me. I got news for you, sweet pea. He's coming after you anyway. Job is one of the best examples I've ever read in the scriptures of this fact. You remember the Bible says Job was a righteous man. He hated evil. He shunned it. And he followed God. It didn't say anything in there about he attacked Satan. He badmouthed Satan. He went after Satan. His focus was on God. And Satan came to God and said, the only reason he serves you is because you take such good care of him. He's known by many names. Satan, the name that's most used, the Hebrew word is Satan, and it means an adversary, one who opposes. And when you and I choose to follow Jesus Christ, we don't get to be observers. And I see too many of us were in that mindset. Well, we're just observers. You are drawn smack dab into the middle of a good old-fashioned shin-kicking street fight, whether you want to or not. It saddens me that I have read that a lot of Christians today don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in demons. You know, psychology answers all that. Well, I got news for you. I personally don't believe in a lot of psychology. I think it's a bunch of guys that got nothing better to do with their time than sit around trying to figure out how men work. But I don't see a demon behind every bush. You can go to one extreme or the other. I met people when I was in the Pentecostal church. I smoked back then. And they said, well, that's that demon of nicotine. Let me cast the demon of nicotine out of you, brother. Well, okay, go ahead. Yeah, if that'll help me quit, cast him out. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You come out of him. Guess what I did when I got in my car? Lit up a cigarette. Well, I guess it didn't work. No, there's no demon of nicotine. It was a physical addiction. Well, all cancer comes from the devil. We'll just cast that devil out. We'll cast that cancer out in the name of Jesus. Cancer comes from physical depravity. It comes from the environment that we live in, the stuff they put in our food, the stuff that goes in the air and in the water. I'm convinced of that. It took Adam 930 years to die. There wasn't any disease or sickness. He lived in a perfect world. It took him 930 years to die. You and I don't live in a perfect world. But on the other side, a lot of people don't think that the devil's any threat to them. As I said, well, as long as I'm not bothering him, he won't bother me. Let's just preach about love, brother. Just talk about love. I want to tell you something. That offends the devil to no end. He hates love. He hates God, and he hates you because you've chosen to follow him. You don't get a choice in the matter, church. You don't get to step back and say, well, I'm going to set this out. He's coming after you. Now, I said this message is going to sound paranoid to you. But this is not the first time that Jesus had to tell his church, watch. Peter found out just how real the devil was. And he wrote to the church of his day and said, be sober-minded, be watchful, vigilant. Same word. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Did you hear what Peter said? Your enemy, your adversary, he's seeking you out. He said, you better be sober-minded. What's that mean? You better be serious. You better be thinking seriously. You better be thinking in the realm that you need to be thinking in. Because whether you like it or not, he's coming after you. Told you this would sound paranoid, do you? I've learned that through the years. And I'm not boasting on myself. But Satan is not going to sit and watch you grow in Christ without opposing that. And especially if you take a ministry. You begin to teach, you begin to preach, you begin to share your testimony with people. He does not sit idly by and go, well, isn't that nice? He goes, I got to stop this. The word Satan means adversary. He's also called devil. The devil. That word means slanderer. Someone who slanders someone intentionally to ruin their reputation. He talks ugly about you. You ever have anybody talk ugly about you? You ever had that brought to your attention? So-and-so said this. How does it make you feel? Angry? Hurt? Paul said we should not be unaware of the devil's schemes, but the church is unaware anymore. Well, it's okay to be gay. God's love, and we don't even talk about gayness anymore. That's deception. Any church or any Christian that holds with that mindset, you are deceived. I can't say it any plainer than that. You have been deceived. Well, God's not mad about sin anymore. You're deceived if you believe that. Do you know that according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is God's final word? Yeah. In times past, God spoke to the fathers in different ways through the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken unto us through Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed to be heir of all things. Jesus is God's final word. The scriptures say, at one time God winked at the ignorance of men, now He commands them to repent. And when we teach that, church, when we dare believe that and teach that, we will be opposed. He will come after us. What did Jesus say the remedy was? Be vigilant, be sober, watch, and pray. We can get into a false sense of security, and some of that's brought on by arrogance. I'm speaking for myself. I got this figured out. He can't tempt me with that. What did Paul say? Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Boy, I have found that to be good advice over the years. Just about time I think I'm on top of things. I got this whipped. I've had that rug jerked out from under my feet. Hit the ground spiritually with the air knocked out of you, looking around going, what happened? The enemy. Now, he's not omnipresent like God. He can't be everywhere at once. But you know, he has a horde of demons that work with him. One-third of an innumerable company of angels fell with Satan. How many is a third of innumerable? A bunch. The Bible says the angels can't be counted, and if a third of those that can't be counted fell, that's still a lot. Jesus said to his church, watch and pray. His inner circle, watch and pray, guys. You don't realize the gravity of this situation you're in. You don't realize what's coming. Watch and pray. He's also called serpent. As I said, there's many names that Satan's called by. Serpent literally means a snake, but it also means a sly, cunning, malicious person. He's sly. He doesn't come up and knock on your door or the door of your heart and say, hi, I'm the devil. I'm here to ruin your testimony and drag you down to hell. I want to ruin your life. I want to ruin your family. He doesn't do that. He's very sly. Paul compared the false teachers of his day to a snake. That's what he was saying. These guys are snakes. They come in very slyly. They're very cunning with what they say to you to try to lure you into that. What Jesus say, pray and watch. Any teaching that you hear, and this is so simple to me, you know, it's a wonder more people don't get it, compare it to the Word. What does the Word say? And if a teacher stands up and says, well, I know the Bible says, but, there ought to be a red flag go up right away. But, the Bible says, but, false teachers work their way in through sly, cunning, craftiness. Paul compared them to a man who could deal cards and manipulate a deck. I used to play poker with a guy that I finally found out he could do that. He could stack a deck. He almost knew what hand he gave you. I was at a game one night in the guy's house we was playing at. He didn't say anything. He just got up, walked into his bedroom, brought out a pump shotgun, laid it on the table, and said, we play honest here. I went, whoa. I'm being honest, and the guy that was dealing said, I'm not. That's just a joke, guys. Paul said false teachers are just like that. They stack the deck. What did Jesus say? Watch and pray. If you think you cannot be deceived, you're in line to be deceived. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how well you think you're establishing your doctrine, you can be deceived. Now, we talked about humility a while back. As part of repentance and humility, we need to be humble when it comes to these other things also. We need to have the humility to go to God and say, now, I might be wrong, God. Teach me the truth. Do you pray before you read the word? Do you pray after you read the word? I've been reading this book for over 40 years, and I still have to go to God and say, I don't get it. Would you please reveal this to me? I still have to pray before I read the word. Open my mind, God. Open my heart. Open my eyes. Let me see your truth. Not doctrines of men. Not teachings of popular preachers or teachers. You tell me your truth out of this word. Because I don't have it all figured out. If you think you can't be deceived, you're opening yourself up for deception. I've met Christians that will get to talking about false teachers and preachers, especially the ones on TV. Oh, I just love what they say. Really, do you listen to what they say? Well, I just love it. Do you listen? Do you compare it to the Word? Because if you do, it ought to make you back up and say, wait a minute, something isn't right here. The Apostle Paul said the devil is a schemer. You ever known schemers? Always plotting, always scheming how they're going to take advantage or get the best of people. Paul said the devil's such a person. He schemes. He's always busy. You know, he doesn't sleep like you and I do. God doesn't sleep. Neither does the devil. And he constantly schemes and plots how he's going to get over on the church. And as I said, if it was a frontal attack and we could recognize it, it'd be easy to avoid, but he doesn't do it that way. He says things that sound good, make us feel good, but they're lies. What Jesus say? Watch and pray. That's what he was saying to his men. Guys, be alert. I said watch means be vigilant. Stay awake. He went to pray and he come back and they were taking a nap. And the third time he woke them up, it said they didn't know how to answer him. What are you going to say the third time? Three times your master says you better stay awake. And the third time he comes in and says, why are you asleep? I don't know. Your kid ever do anything? And you say, why did you do that? And they go, I don't know. That's brain damage. I did it. Dad say, you do that, you're going to get a whipping. Why'd you do that? I don't know. I can't tell you why. They didn't watch him pray. What happened? They scattered like a covey of quail. All these men that sat at that table and said, all for one and one for all. When the trouble came, they said, every man for himself, head for the hills, boys. Just like Jesus said they would. Church, we're talking about revival. We want to pray for revival. But I want to warn you, as I've been warned from this passage, watch and pray. Don't think you're above this, that you can't be deceived. Don't think you're so doctrinally well-founded that you can't believe a lie, because you can. It just seems to be in our nature. There's things we like to hear and things we don't like to hear. But sometimes God tells us things that we need to hear whether we like it or not. Yeah. Jesus told his church to especially watch and pray in the last days. He said, it's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Now, I think the King James says to watch. He commands the doorkeeper, watch. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Jesus thought it was important enough to warn us. You need to stay awake. You need to be sober-minded. You need to think honestly. You need to realize and understand you have an enemy, a very real enemy. Another place he warned about the last days, he said, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and stand before the Son of Man. He was talking about the fall of Jerusalem, but many believe he was also talking about end times. And Jesus closed with that. He said, stay awake and pray. Pray that you're going to be able to get through this. That's bad. Those are bad times that's coming. Jesus said, pray that you're going to be able to get through it. That's not the time to get cocky and say, well, I got this figured out. I think we need to do exactly what he said. Lord, get us through this. Give me the strength to get through this. I pray very often, open my eyes. This world is deceived, church. This world that you and I live in. They are blatant, loud-mouthed, boastful. They call evil good and good evil. And they're deceived. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we can get pulled into that mindset. Yeah, it'll happen. Especially in the name of getting along. Let's just get along. Jesus said, pray that you're going to be able to get through this and stand before the Son of Man. Jesus' followers didn't listen to him on this night. And the end result was they did exactly what he said they would do. Judas betrayed him, Peter denied him, and the rest ran away in fear. We all would do well to heed Jesus' warning to watch and pray, because our enemy is always looking for a way to get the best of us. And you don't have to do anything to bring that on. That's just who he is. Don't think you're going to just slide through life as a Christian. I told you that when that minister baptized me at Bryant Creek, he said, I know you think things are going to be easier. And he said, I'm not trying to put a bummer on you, but you just hung a target around your neck. And he said, the devil is coming after you. And boy, he was telling the truth. Do I fear the devil? Well, he's already defeated. He can gut stomp me. No question about that. I mean, if God allows it. But he's already a defeated foe. I've said before, when I first came to Christ, the first couple of years, if you'd have said, Rick, who's your worst enemy? I'd have said, the devil is. Boy, that old devil, that tempter, that devil, he's my worst enemy. After about 3 or 4 years, I'd have said, I'm my own worst enemy. Because we give him the ammunition, church. James said we are tempted when we're drawn away by our desires. He can't put those desires on you. You already have them. Watch and pray. That's what Jesus said, watch and pray. Peter said, be vigilant, be sober, think seriously. This isn't a game that we're in, church. The stakes are high. It's the souls of men and it's our souls. That's why the Lord warned us. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I've heard that kind of preaching. All you got to do is believe and receive, and you're guaranteed to go to heaven. You can't lose that. Doesn't matter what you do. It's all under the blood. God doesn't see your sins. He just sees Jesus. Well, then why did John say if we sin to pray and confess our sins and God would forgive us? If they're all covered and there's no consequence of it, why did John tell the church, if you do sin, confess it? And God will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's some of that false teaching, in my opinion, that's out there. You don't have to change. God loves you just the way you are. Are you a pedophile? God loves you. He understands. Are you a homosexual? God loves you just like, in fact, God made you that way. He understands. You don't have to change. Are you a drunkard? You don't have to change. Are you a liar? Well, you need to kind of watch that. Are you a thief? Well, kind of tone it down a little bit. I'm serious, it's a heart attack, church. That's what I hear at a lot of this hoorah that's being preached today and taught. Max Lucado said it well. God takes us just as we are, but he has no intention of leaving us there. Do you know that? And as you and I grow in Christ, we need to understand Satan will come against us. That is his MO. He wants to trip you up. He wants to foul you up. He wants to knock you down and keep you down. And you can't defeat him on your own. Jesus said, watch and pray. Would you stand with me this morning? This message, I wasn't intending this to be paranoid, but I think it's a warning we all need to take heed to. These were 12 handpicked men who Jesus commissioned to take the gospel into the world. Judas fell because he was greedy. The rest of them acted like cowards until after they were converted and filled with the Spirit. And then just about every one of them died a martyr's death because they did what they were told to do. But they did it with watchfulness and prayer. That's what we need to do, church. You know, we want revival. Let's not say, well, let's try this gimmick and that gimmick. How about if we pray and say, God, what do we need to do? What do you want us to do? What doors are you opening? We need to be aware of our enemy, who he is, and what his intentions are in our lives. We need to watch and pray. But whoever have our closing prayer, please pray for us.